Kingdom living is a now experience, a present reality for all who are willing to let God rule. Right now is just the beginning of what we will experience fully at the end of life, life lived eternally in heaven. There is only one thing that keeps us from having the blessings that God wants for us. Only one thing that blocks the way for us to live as God's kingdom people. Only one thing, but it is a big thing. Obedience. Our lessons speak of the importance of obedience for those who seek the benefits of living as God's people. In our Old Testament lesson, Israel faces certain destruction, but Ezekiel tells them it's not too late to change. He says, rid yourself of all the offenses that you've committed and get a new heart, a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For God says, I take no delight in death of anyone. Repent and live. But Israel saw no reason to repent. Kind of sounds like some people today. Everything is optional. We continue, we convince ourselves that we know what's best for us, and we're going to do what we please. Ezekiel's words speak today. When we feel worship is optional, prayer is optional, reading the Bible is optional, raising our children in the faith optional, serving, sharing, optional. When we consider giving back to God for the blessings he has given us as optional, of course, there's no reason to repent. When we see any of these things as optional, we fail to recognize God's call to obedience. Now, let's not confuse obedience with works righteousness. You and I are saved by God's grace. All we need to do is to believe in Jesus dying for our sins, and we are in. That's our salvation. In holy baptism, God claims us as his sons and daughters. That is a sacred covenant. If we fail to keep the promises that we make, fail to live in that covenant, God does not break the covenant. He is faithful even when we are not. How foolish we are when we think just because we're baptized, we can live as we please, even if it's not pleasing to God. How foolish parents are when they neglect the promises they make at their child's baptism. Martin Luther, and it was stated in our video this morning, Martin Luther warned that the waters of holy baptism can become worthless if we neglect the promises that we have made, when we neglect living in that covenant. Baptism recorded in the church books will not save us. We need to say with the psalmist, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and teach me, for you are my God and my Savior. In a culture of endless options that leaves little time in the day for us, we sometimes can forget that living as God's people is not an option, it is a way of living. When God is center, we have balance, and that's what obedience brings to that. Why do we let the world pull us in all sorts of directions, leaving us too exhausted to say our prayers at night, or too many things going in our head that God doesn't even get a second thought? Can we end the day? Can we end our day and reflect upon the day and be able to say, this is where I saw the presence of God. This is where I really felt God with me. In the book, Fragmented God, the author writes this, people today are consumers. They shop for this, for that. A new toy here, a new emotion there, a new sensation each time around. When one pastime doesn't excite, another one just is another option to go. Then he goes on to write, some Christians today treat religion like a wardrobe. They take different garments out of the closet each Sunday depending on their spiritual mood and then put them back in the closet. On Monday, they go back in that closet and get their secular clothes and get on with the real business of life. The real things that really matter. That's a pretty harsh indictment. I don't want to believe that. However, if our faith walk is anything less than 24/7, then we are guilty. That was the message for Jesus to the Pharisees. Their obedience to God was all show and no substance. Right before today's lesson, Jesus chases the money changers out of the temple. He's now in the temple, and the religious leaders ask him where he gets his authority. They want to know by whose authority did he heal and forgive sins? Who gave him the authority to chase the money changers out of the temple? Jesus doesn't answer their question, but rather gives them a lesson in obedience. This is one of Jesus' shortest parables, but it goes right to the heart of the problem. Like the second son in the parable, they were always saying yes, yes with their lips, but they lacked obedience. They were quick to point the accusing finger to somebody else, those tax collectors and prostitutes. They were jealous of John the Baptist and suspicious of anyone who went to John and repented. Jesus likens the tax collector and the prostitutes to the first son, who first rebelled, but then repent and did the Father's will. Because Jesus believed that his coming brought the kingdom of God to earth as a present reality, he told the religious leaders that those sinners, those people they considered sinners, were going to enter the kingdom of God before them. It's interesting to note, Jesus did not tell the religious leaders they could never enter the kingdom of God. As long as we live, there is always opportunities to change our ways. But he was pointing out that they were blind to their felt need to repent. The parable still speaks. Are we forever saying yes, yes to God, then letting other options keep us from living out that commitment? Obedience? Do we take off our religious clothes following worship and put on our secular clothes and get on with the real stuff in life, what really matters? Or do we recognize kingdom living is the real stuff right now? Paul gives us a real good picture of the kingdom, what it's like. To have that same attitude of Christ, humility, servanthood, obedience. We should never think that Jesus didn't have options himself. Although he was the Son of God, he also was the son of Mary. In his humanness, he prayed the most powerful prayer ever prayed. Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but your will be done. That was a powerful, true prayer of obedience. If we believe, we obey. If we obey, we believe. Amen.